Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast Network. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by the full crew this week. Nate decided that, he had some time to fit us into his schedule. He decided to stop hating on us. He unmuted our group chat, and it's coming back into the fold. So we got the whole crew: Sammy, Nate, myself, and We were getting into a good argument before we started on how Nate, you know, just continues to slug 2 to 3 Red Bulls a day, and he's referencing that this is a trimmed down nature of what he was consuming before. So, Nate, my question is to you: if you just every cent you spent on Red Bull, you bought Bitcoin instead, how rich would you be right now?
So rich. So rich.
But he wouldn't be happy. Like, that money wouldn't give him the happiness that the 3 Red Bulls a day infuses his body with. So you have to kind of give and take, right?
I think everybody needs caffeine of some sort. Like, you guys all sitting there drinking coffee. So, like, don't hate on me for Red Bull.
So I will hate on Red Bull because it's killing you slowly. But something that I don't get is that, Nate, you as a person, you're all about efficiency. You're all about, like, dude, you just got to be the most efficient possible. Like, you got to do, like, the human brain, blah, 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 blah. Why don't you just take caffeine pills? That's something I've never understood about you drinking Red Bull, is like, you could just take caffeine pills, right?
Yeah, technically. And I used to, actually, in days when I was cared more about working out and stuff like that, I wouldn't drink Red Bull. I would just have caffeine pills. But
back when you cared about your health.
a little bit of a cell phone there.
Well, there is, like, an experience to it. The same way most people have, like, an experience to drinking coffee. Like, there's an experience to drinking Red Bull. It's, like, flavorful. It's good.
So you're saying
pulling down that beautiful vape. I feel you, brother.
There's a psychosomatic response to drinking the Red Bull where your body's like,
there's a mentally weak part of me that enjoys the experience of drinking Red Bull. And throughout your day, you have those things.
Sugar-free Red Bull, I used to drink it when I was in college, like when I was, like, staying up late studying, or back when I actually had a real job, like when I had to, like, leave my house to go do something to procure money. And I gotta say, it tastes like poverty to me when I drink it now. Like, it tastes like having to, like, scrounge around for change to, like, buy stuff.
Luckily, taste is subjective. The dopamine hit that you have when you open, like, a cold can of something.
He's like Nate the Tank. He's like, it's so good when it hits your lips. It's just
oh,
Dude, you guys are all sitting there drinking coffee. It's the exact same thing for you.
Oh yeah, dude, I'm drinking high calf tea and vaping and I'm sick.
Coffee, yes. Coffee has one ingredient, Nate. Coffee. That's the ingredient. How many ingredients does your can of Red Bull have? The sugar-free kinds, too.
Like 10?
No, way more. And it has that word that starts with a P-H-E that is literally unpronounceable to like a normal human being. It's got like 19 syllables in it, and it's like pregnant women can't drink this because it'll kill your kid if you drink it. Yeah,
it's Latin for causes cancer immediately.
So that's how we're starting the show. This is ostensibly a football podcast, though.
That is incorrect.
There was no good football this weekend, though. I don't want to
talk. Here's the thing. Well, there was one very good game, the Kansas City Chiefs laying pipe on the Houston Texans. So I had a bad weekend of betting. I went 1-3 against the spread. But this was actually my best GPP week of the year. So, like, the times I've had the best sweats and, like, the highest ROI I had in any weekend. But it was just from really being all in on the Chiefs. And you know what? People are mentally weak on Sammy Watkins, Nate. They saw the context of the slate. They saw Watkins for 4,300, and they still not waived. Mm-hmm.
Are you taking a W here? Is that what's happening?
He was needed.
He scored 51 points and he caught two passes with two targets.
He was needed to be like he was in the million. He was in the millionaire winning lineup. Like he was the needed part that made it all work.
No way.
He led you to the construction that made it.
He got you to the right team. Yeah.
Not your million winning lineup. Just somebody else.
Not my William. I mean, I did. I had a couple legit sweats on Sunday until then. Like I was in first, so like three different things, and then Lockett hit the 100-yard bonus and caught a touchdown on the same drive, and that was a tough scene because I did not have enough.
Let me tell you what a tough scene is that you almost binked an NFL GPP, and instead Derrick Henry went bonkers, and you didn't have any.
Henry was not on any of the winning lineups because he was too expensive.
Yeah, for sure. But
thank God, because I really couldn't have handled Kitchen having a good DFS weekend and also having his Titans win that game.
Yeah, if you played Derrick Henry and you didn't play Damian Williams and you're dunking, like, value is still a thing. It wasn't like Damian Williams was the play.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was actually on the four gamer, not as owned as I thought he was going to be. He was closer to like 40-50%. And I guess part of the reason why I had a better weekend than usual was I just was picking up a ton of min caches instead of having like, I mean, there is a big difference when you have like 50% of your entries turn into min caches as opposed to not cashing. And that was just on the strength of Damian Williams. But I want to go back to the start of the first game. So 49ers and Minnesota, no one from Minnesota ended up being fantasy relevant in this slate at all. Did you guys play any Kirk, any Diggs, any Thielen at all? I was overweight on Diggs, underweight on everyone else.
No, I almost full faded Minnesota, except I did play a little of their defense. And I had like one Diggs lineup and he like smashed immediately and it's like, oh snap, it's going to be a big Diggs.
Didn't he legitimately only have the one catch?
No, he had one other. He had one other catch. So it was like a 16-yard reception, ended up with 2 for 57 on 5 targets.
I mean, you know what's stupid is that they got their only meaningful points of the game on that play. And then they just went back to running the ball on first down and throwing screens to Dalvin Cook. And then the guy who called all those plays just got an NFL head coaching job.
I don't understand. The Vikings play calling has been insane.
I mean, so we talked about this last week, Davis. One of the biggest mismatches of this entire slate was the San Francisco defensive line against the Minnesota offensive line. At some point, there's not that much you can do. Like, they clearly were calling screens because they knew that they were outmanned on the line, and they were like, dude, we got to get our guy in space. We got to take advantage of a aggressive defense. I thought the idea was fine. It just didn't work out because Minnesota's way worse than San Francisco.
Minnesota is way worse. You know what? I don't think they are. I think that the rosters are kind of level, but I think that the Minnesota coaches, which, and I gave them credit last week, but they were all bad in this game. I think Minnesota has a pretty decent-ish roster.
They do have a good roster. They just, their line can't hang with something like San Francisco's. That's going to just, like, destroy a game like this for them.
Yeah. I mean,
Cousins really does struggle under pressure.
No one takes a sack like Kirk Cousins. I remember he got sacked at like his own 4-yard line or something, and he was like turtling in anticipation of it for like full like 3 beats. He saw the defensive lineman and he just was like, "Oh, just let's get it over with." Like he just crumpled.
Nobody's good under pressure, but then there's Cousins.
Yeah, I will say though, Jimmy was bad in this game. He was not.
He threw 19 passes and I think 12 of them were complete ducks. Like he did Jimmy not throw a spiral on this day.
Does Jimmy have to be good for them to continue? I don't like
not for them to beat Minnesota, but for them to beat Green Bay and whoever they play in the AFC in the Super Bowl. Yes. You think they could play the Chiefs and Jimmy could just be okay? No, they'll have to score 30 points.
But they can get through Green Bay.
Imagine if the Super Bowl is Green Bay, Tennessee.
I will be.
Imagine it.
No, I'm not going to watch it.
I would. Yeah,
I would watch it, but only for showdown. Like I would only be doing it for showdown purposes.
And Tannehill props.
A thing I have noticed for if people are betting player props is that quarterback rushing yards have been about the same that they've been in the regular season, but every quarterback is scrambling in these games. I think Mahomes had the most rushing yards he's ever had in a game yesterday. Tannehill's over rushing prop hit. Russell Wilson's over rushing prop hit. I don't know about Jimmy's. I didn't look at it, but I assume that his, I guess He didn't run, so his would not have hit. But, yeah, I just have noticed that these quarterbacks have been taking off a little bit more.
Yeah, all of them. Or is it, like, selection bias? The quarterbacks that can scramble and make plays on their own are the ones that have survived.
It's totally survivor bias where it's a bigger advantage than ever that your quarterback can evade pressure. And, like for example, if you put Drew Brees back there on that play where Deshaun Watson spun out of the sack and hit Tywan Jones, the team just loses that game. But yeah. Watson is one of the only guys alive who can make that play. Also, I need to bring this up again. Tywan Jones was like in the game getting snaps again for Houston on Sunday, which is just people need to know how freaking weird this is. He was drafted as a running back, converted into a cornerback, was a starting cornerback for a while, and then converted back to running back when he signed with Houston in free agency.
Getting snaps.
Over Duke Johnson, who they traded a third-round draft pick for.
Who's like a top 5 most efficient running back in football, and they refused to use him at any point, which is just really special.
It is crazy. Like Carlos Hyde was like getting targets on Sunday, and it's one of the craziest things you'll see. He got 13 carries, and Carlos Hyde had 4 targets. Duke Johnson had 8 targets and 1 carry. It's just crazy stuff.
So this was tilting. So I'm super stupid because I know that Houston is a bunch of boners, and they just don't use Duke Johnson in any sort of meaningful way. And I bet the over on 2 Duke Johnson props. One of them was over 16.5 rushing yards, and I think he had an 11-yard rush in the first quarter, and I'm like, oh, it's lit. And then another one was that he had a reception over 11.5 yards, which I thought would happen when they were down a grip and they just dumped something off to him, and neither ended up happening. So that was tilting. But I blame myself. I'm a fish. Like, why would I ever bet any over Duke Johnson prop ever? That was stupid.
So I bet the over on, and I thought this one was a slam dunk before the game even started, Raheem Mostert 11.5 receiving yards. Like I was just like, oh, well, all he's got to do is play. And he didn't play. So, I mean, I don't know if that was, I don't know. I guess that was really just gambling on, is Raheem Mostert going to play?
I liked Mostert. I thought, at least on DK, the value he provided, I thought was good too. So I had a lot of GPP exposure with him, but bad.
Yeah, I think I had 9% Raheem Mostert and 2% Tevin Coleman.
Yeah.
I had a lineup that was really good that I really wanted one of the secondary Niners backs because I felt like somebody would go off.
And Matt Breida, baby.
I took Breida because I only had 3,300, and I refused. I'm like, oh, it could be Breida or Tevin. Who cares, you know? Turns out it mattered. It mattered.
Pretty mentally weak of you to be building these lineups by hand, Sammy.
I mean, this was a pretty mentally weak weekend. Like, I had – so I full faded Dalvin Cook, which any sharp person did. I full faded Derrick Henry, and I full faded Devontae Adams. So some of that
– Adams faded.
Yeah, some of that.
Well, give me the logic
you
there.
You love fading Adams in these spots. What is it?
Like, no, I love fading
Keenan jamming Tyreek? Were you just jamming Tyreek over him?
I was.
You know what? You didn't play like 150. You probably played
lineups? No, I did not, dude. I played like five. I played like five lineups.
No, like, that's fine. I actually think, and that's like, I have no issue with that. I know Nate will be like, blah, but he was projected for more points. But if you're playing five lineups and you're just trying to get rich, like just fading the most owned player at a position is fine. Regardless.
Yeah, like I was definitely smashing like a bunch of prop bets and stuff like that instead of like, oh, I'm just going to go hard at DFS. Like, dude, I got this kid. Like, grinding lineups is tough these days, bro. It's a challenge.
Especially when it's out of the normal rhythm and it's like Saturday afternoon, you know.
Yeah.
Versus the normal Sunday morning.
Yeah. So it is what it is. But like those were the guys that I was like, oh, I'm just not gonna play these dudes and try to play some game theory. Get some Matt Breida in there, you know, get rich. Here I
am. So
can we talk about the Baltimore game?
Yeah, we gotta talk about it. So I don't wanna
talk about this. The people
want me to hold some L's. And I'm not gonna do it, obviously. I'll do it a little bit.
Yes. Don't hold any L's.
I bet Baltimore at 9.5 right when it first opened, and I didn't try and hedge out or anything. And in fact, I think it was 14-0. Maybe there was another field goal in there at some point, but at some point Baltimore was +110 during the game, and I live bet that as well. And I'll be honest, I didn't really think they were actually going to lose until the fumble. I actually thought even after not getting the 4th-and-1, I still thought they would win until Lamar. I think there was 5 minutes left in the third quarter. Tennessee had just scored. They had just scored the jump pass. They just scored the jump pass touchdown
or whatever.
And Lamar drops back to pass and he fumbles. And then I was like, okay, yeah, they're dust. They're not going to win this game. If the Ravens, they don't like Mark Andrews is able to either secure that pass or just drops it in a normal way and it doesn't tip into the defender, I think Baltimore probably wins like 38-10. I think it's just an absolute.
Oh, is this a momentum take?
No, I just think that Baltimore is, I mean, clearly they're not good at playing from behind. When they played from behind during the regular season, they got smoked. It was the last time that they got behind by 10 points or more, it was against Cleveland, and basically the same thing happened in that game that happened in this game, which was they got away from the base sets of their offense that everyone does really well. I actually think that Harbaugh did things about like 85% optimally in this game, but they kind of treated the Titans like they were the Chiefs in the sense of like, oh, the Titans can just put up 40 on us if they want to. And I mean, if they just would have ran their normal offense and gotten to 21 points by the start of the fourth quarter, which is like their average, I mean, they did not need to drop back and pass as much as they did. That's the only time I've ever said that in the history of analyzing football. But I actually think they kind of played into Cleveland's hands by getting away from the most successful offense in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know. I think to say something like they're not good at playing from behind is, I think, extrapolating from such a small sample. Like, I'm not going to try to do that. I think the reality is it's just this game would have played out different if they would have converted their high variance 4th-and-1s like they did all regular season. But, like, Harbaugh still coached it optimally.
Except the 4th-and-1 play calls, both of them were so bad. They were
perfect on 4th-and-1 throughout the regular season. So you
know, I agree, but the specific plays. So the first time they did it, they just did. It was just Ingram, right? It was just Ingram up the middle.
Yeah, and then the second time,
the second time was even worse. They called the quarterback sneak where he tries to go behind the guard instead of the center. First of all, you have Lamar Jackson, so every fourth and one play needs to be an RPO. It was the Bengals game, maybe? We all had him in cash, and he was doing horrible in the first half. And then they had the fourth and one, and he throws the 26-yard touchdown pass on fourth and one to one of the tight ends. I don't remember who it was. But they basically, like, they just were not playing with that, like, same confidence. It sucked to watch.
Yeah, I think the issue with a quarterback sneak when you have Lamar Jackson is you turn him into every other quarterback.
You turn him into Tom Brady when he's Lamar Jackson.
Exactly. Like, any quarterback can run a QB sneak, right? And so Lamar kind of tried to Lamar it and find a crease off to the side, and it's like, look, dude, run your RPO. I mean, you get yards on that every single time. Don't just run them into the line when they're all stacked up. And it wasn't like that short. It wasn't like fourth and inches. It was like fourth and a fourth.
It was a fourth and a yard. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't like that call. I think it was probably Lamar's choice to like take that hole. But yeah,
choosing the hole, that's not on Harbaugh. That's Lamar's making that call.
Right. But I mean, I do agree they should have RPO'd it.
As someone who has backed Lamar from the beginning and feel very both vindicated by his success and also like very upset when people are mean to him on the internet. I mean, he was not very good in this game. Like he had a couple moments where he was phenomenal where you're like, oh man, maybe they can pull this back. But at the end of the day, his limitations as a downfield passer and limitations in terms of who Baltimore has as pass catchers really does make like a 14-point deficit feel sort of insurmountable, which you never want to feel like that.
Well, his pass catchers let him down so hard.
Seth Roberts had to have had the worst game I've ever seen a wide receiver have. I mean, he was so bad.
Did they let him down, or is that just who they are? That's who they've been all – like, they're terrible. And
I mean, that's why they run the freaking three tight end offense, because the other option is Chris Moore.
Yeah, they didn't like turn into a pumpkin. They've been a pumpkin this entire time, and Lamar has just made some incredible plays. I think what we just saw was a reversion to the mean from like some receivers that shouldn't have been performing as well as they were. And it was like, I don't know. I think we're going to try to extrapolate a lot of narratives tonight. I don't think there was much to be taken from it.
Well, what we need to extrapolate is that I thought that Baltimore was going to win the Super Bowl. Hands down. I didn't see anybody beating them at any point. And the Tennessee Titans have now gone into New England and whooped that New England ass. And then they went into Baltimore and whooped Baltimore's ass. Like, what is happening right now? This is like David Kitchen's wet dream.
It's just variance, dude. I mean, I know that's not the answer anyone wants to hear, but it is literally just variance. I mean, it's variance and it's the Patriots not being very good and Baltimore having the perfect combination of running as bad as possible at the worst time.
Yeah, and they also, I mean, I did not like, I agree with this take by you, Davis. I did not like that they only ran the ball 9 times to their running backs. Like, they got away from, we're calling it RPOs, but like a lot of like read options.
I mean, they weren't even – if you want to make it even more, they weren't even doing play action, though. Like, they were getting so far away from what they do that they weren't even doing the running back fakes that they literally do on every play. Like, I do think that – like, it's just the Ravens are a better team than the Titans, and if they play this game 10 times, they probably win 6 of them, or more than that. They probably win 7 of them.
Eight, bro. Yeah. 8 times, but they didn't win on this day, and now I'm really excited for the Davis's Kansas City Chiefs versus Tennessee. And if Tennessee beats Kansas City this week, I mean, David Kitchen may put you in a body bag and ship you off.
If Tennessee beats Kansas City, I don't want to watch another game of football.
Here's the thing. Kitchen is already hit. He's already hit 2 legs of a parlay that pays out like 30-1. And if I know anything about parlay betting, I mean, there's nothing for him to hedge on, though, because he's just going to keep tweeting stuff like Derrick Henry is better than a computer or like whatever it is that he wants to say. So it's I mean, the Chiefs are just like, they're a lot better than the Titans, and they're like, they will be a team that is able to actually, like, they are going to force Ryan Tannehill to pass. And, you know, I don't know how that's going to go. Could go well, could go bad. The Ryan Tannehill variant system.
Derrick Henry under
12, I think it was 1,200 rushing yards, right?
Three, got it, four games in the playoffs.
We talked about that in the podcast last week. One of the bets we recommended, though, was Chiefs for the Super Bowl. I think it was 8-1 at the beginning of the season. That's how I get to even, guys. I need the Chiefs to do that, because that's how we get even on the football season. Nothing I would appreciate more than, the Saints getting knocked off was very good for that bet, and then the Ravens getting knocked off was also very good for the Chiefs' futures. But yeah.
Like,
those two, so at the start of the playoffs, the Saints and Ravens had over 30% of the market Super Bowl win equity. So if you just looked at the way the futures market was, those teams were capturing, you know, over a quarter of the Super Bowl win equity, and they've both been eliminated.
Yeah, in my brain, I just can't comprehend Tennessee winning this game. What's the line?
I got it at 7 last night. It's 7.5 now. What I'm saying is that I'm obviously super sharp and just getting these lines out ahead of time.
I think you moved the line, probably.
No, because I bet on a site that copies another site.
Of course. R.I.P. Lamar. Just R.I.P. I'm really sad.
It sucks. And, I mean, what the worst part of all this is that all the old white racists have logged on, and they're talking about how, oh, well, Lamar can't pass. And
can't win with a running quarterback.
Can't win with a running quarterback.
Got to punt the ball.
Lamar's not a passer.
Gonna get injured in 2 years, you know, definitely with his style.
Analytics has been canceled. Yep. I mean, I think Lamar ran 20 times in that game. I don't think he got tackled once. I don't remember. Oh, he did get cheap shotted on a play they didn't call. One of the Titans guys smacked him in the head and it didn't get called.
Yeah. Dude, Lamar Jackson's rushing line is hysterical. 20 for 143. Like, that's some Derrick Henry stuff right there.
He did finally get the double bonus too, by the way. It finally happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
He scored 36 DraftKings points with one touchdown.
Did you guys play anybody except Lamar and Mahomes?
I had about like 8% combined of Watson, Russ Wilson, and Rodgers.
Yeah, I actually had some Watson in that last series where he couldn't score a touchdown with like 20 seconds left. It was pretty tilting because I had Fuller and I had Hopkins, and it was just
Rodgers
like,
is so tilting though. Like, just watching, of all of the quarterbacks that were available, there was like,
dude, I had some great slander tweets ready. So they could have lost that game after the horrible decision to punt by Seattle
by Carroll.
With 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, second and long, Aaron Rodgers is about to take a sack, keep the clock running. He throws the ball out of bounds. He threw it, like, he can't help himself, dude. He threw it away instead of taking the sack. Like,
yeah, and keep the clock running. If that's how they had lost, that would have been an epic.
I had a, like, Aaron Rodgers' brain. Like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Aaron Rodgers throws the ball away. Like, I had it, it was ready to go, and then it just didn't end up mattering. And then Seattle got cheated by the refs ruling that Jimmy Graham had crossed the first down line when he had not.
No, he had not.
I don't know how they – why even review? Stuff like that drives me
That's
nuts.
What I thought. Like, why even review if you're
going to stick with what's on the –
Yeah, if you rule it on the field, just rule it on the field and cut, like, you know, whatever.
I don't know. Somebody had a tweet where it's like, yeah, you know, the Iranian guy that we killed, you know, you can, like, kill him with a drone, like, thousands of miles away, but you can't figure out where a ball goes down on a football field with, like, a computer chip. Like, why is this not possible?
It's insane to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Our NFL spotting system is still in, like, the 1940s. Which is pretty crazy. But, yeah, I mean,
it's We see that time, like, the Ravens lose, and, like, I mean, there's so many bad takes floating around with Titans, and just people still love Roger. I just can't stand – this week of NFL, like, made me so upset. Everything I don't like about football just happened.
I mean, if – when the Chiefs were down 21-0, I gotta admit to the people, like, I probably would have just not come back. Like, I would have – I would – like – I couldn't live in a world where Houston and Tennessee was the AFC Conference Championship game. Lamar and Mahomes are watching at home. Aaron Rodgers and bum Garoppolo. Like,
Bill O'Brien,
football.
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. Ugh. Like, Mike Vrabel sucks. Like, you guys can all, like, parade around these funny quotes. Like, he sucks. His version of football sucks. The only people that enjoy it are Boomers and Titans fans. Like, no one cares.
And when you have Boomer Titan fans, I mean, this is just Valhalla for him.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, would it surprise you next season if the Titans bring back the exact same roster, win 6 games, and Mike Vrabel gets fired? Like, really would not surprise me.
That's, like, favored to happen. I mean, that has to be.
I mean, Derrick Henry is now going to go top 5 in seasonal drafts.
So I'm going to have to adjust my stuff to make him project better than I did this last year when he still projected pretty good for me. And he's going to be, like, undraftable because I'm not going to project him for, like, 6 yards per carry. You know, like, it's just going to be, like, what do you guys want me to do? What do you want? Like, anyone who does math to project fantasy football, they're just, like, they can't do anything with Derrick Henry. It's more – Derrick Henry's more of an art, Sammy.
Yeah, he is more of an art. I mean, really, you have to watch the film, Davis, and just understand that there's an offensive lineman who runs a 4-5 and nobody can tackle him, and that's Derrick Henry.
Until he doesn't, though. That's the thing. And then when he doesn't do it anymore, these people are going to be like, oh, he's just running bad, dude. It's just variance. Yeah.
Until he has a 300 yards, until he has a season with a 3.5 yards per carry.
Didn't he already have a season with 3.5 yards per carry?
I'll tell you guys like this, though. It is just aesthetically pretty pleasing to watch Derrick.
No, he is awesome to watch. I think that this is a point that I've never adequately voiced before. I don't actually dislike Derrick Henry. I don't dislike watching him play. I dislike the sorts of people who are going to sit on the sidelines and be like, Derrick Henry is an outlier and you're an idiot if you don't see why. Those kinds of people are the worst types of people because for every time they'll be like, oh, well, you're an idiot for not understanding that Derrick Henry is the truth and the way. These are the same people that were like chasing Antoine Smith that season where he had like 8 carries over 40 yards for a touchdown. Like these types of people, that's a Venn diagram that's just a big circle. But you'll never hear those kinds of people be like, oh, well, I was wrong because of this, this, and this. They'll just be like, unlucky, bro. It was unlucky. Derrick Henry's awesome. That jump pass, I was like, I was getting hammered. I was losing in Showdown. I was losing in the Saturday 2 gamer. I was obviously losing Baltimore -10 or -9.5.
You were losing on Twitter to David Kitchen.
Yeah, yes. Like I was taking L's on L's on L's, and the jump pass was still awesome. Like that was a cool playoff moment. Like that was cool.
The fact that Derrick Henry can jump in the first place is really something. I'm sad it didn't go to Marcus Mariota, who is like wide open on the side.
That one, so Derrick Henry throwing it to Mariota would have been better because Empire Maker would have had to have cut his penis off. He tweeted that if Corey Davis got 0 again, he was gonna have to cut it off on Periscope, and that would have been a great moment.
Yeah, tough scene to be so rich and have no weenus.
I guess Derrick Henry. I thought 2017 was worse for him. He actually had a 4.2 yards per carry, so it wasn't under 4. I thought it was under 4.
So I actually looked this up. If you had to guess, what do you think the most amount of targets Derrick Henry has seen in one game in his 4-year NFL career, including the playoffs?
5.
5 is the most, because we were talking about it in the Daily Roto Slack, and we were like, what would actually happen? Would they actually take Henry off the field if they were down 10 points to Baltimore?
Yes.
And I actually sided on yes, they would. Yeah.
Yes, they would.
Yes.
Because, so this is this also is going to sound absurd to, if you don't watch the game, this is going to sound pretty absurd. Deion Lewis is actually a better pass blocker than Derrick Henry. And like the instinctual response of someone is like, well, there's no way that's true. There can't be
a legitimate offensive lineman.
Right, because he's so big, you'd say, but actually pass blocking for running backs is so much about like instantly responding to who the blitzer is and being able to get there. And Derrick Henry is not as fast side to side as Deion is, so he's better at it. So that's where sense. That's where this podcast has gone to, is talking about Deion Lewis pass blocking.
Yeah, gotta get there. I mean, Toto con Dios is a Toto con Deion is part of the brand.
Toto's con Deion is gonna finally, he's gonna be the play next week. He really is gonna be the two gamer play. I swear to you guys. He's got to be, right?
I mean,
because we're not. I mean, are we playing Henry? Are you playing Henry,
no,
Sammy?
No,
we're not playing. No, of course Henry. Not.
Yeah,
you gotta ride this thing out. You gotta. Exactly. All the way
it's
to the
it's,
end.
It's the reverse Martingale. We're like, so like Mart, like it's like the Will Fuller Martingale system is you just keep playing him for increasing more money until you get even. But Derrick Henry is you keep playing for increasing more money without playing him until you finally get even. And I gotta say, they made it not as easy as it could have been because they didn't even really price Derrick Henry up relative. So he is 8,700. So he's the most expensive player, but he's not the most expensive player the way like Christian McCaffrey would be or whatever. Because Adams is 7,900, Tyreek is 72, and freaking Damien is 7K. So it's like they did not make it that easy, basically. But you know who's cheap? Deion, baby.
Oh,
3,300.
This is gonna go down as the worst take.
No, I'm with Davis on this. How awesome would it be if you can like take with Deion and just dunk on all those Tennessee? It would make up for last month.
I don't really actually like Deion as a play, but if on a two game slate I'm going to full out fade the most expensive player who's projected for probably, I would imagine he's projected for like the third most points, probably need to be playing his backup and just hoping that he gets there in some way.
Let's talk about Casey Houston.
Seven and a half this spread.
Casey Houston was the only good game this weekend.
Yeah, it was awesome. So Houston starts out, they get the Kenny Stills touchdown on a complete lack of coverage by Kansas City's defense. Then they block a punt, return it for a touchdown. And then the third touchdown was Darren Fells, like off a Tyreek muffed a punt,
right,
and Watson threw a touchdown. And then they get the ball back again on another drop. So Kelsey drops one on a third down. Then DeMarcus Robinson drops one, and Kansas City refused to go for it on fourth. I think it was fourth and six, and they don't go for it. And then Houston marches down the field, and they have a decision, fourth and one from I think probably like the 12, I think it was. And they kick the field goal. And from that point on, it was a 51-7 run in about, I guess it would be 49 minutes of game time or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, what did they score? Six straight touchdowns on six straight possessions? They were leading at half, dude.
They were leading at half.
I mean, Kansas City went full Baltimore. All their guys were just dropping passes. And, I mean, it was just like they're muffing punts. They're basically screwing everything up. And it was like, dude, they are going to go down like Baltimore did, only they're built to come back. And they did.
Watching them come back was so gratifying. Like, that was so sweet. Just every drive down.
I mean, they should have won this game by, like, 50 points. I'm surprised that
David Kitchen is on Twitter right now saying that the Tennessee Titans are the number one offensive team left in the playoffs.
Oh, boy.
We should have had David on this podcast just to hear him for a second.
I can't. Because Kansas City, like, I mean, so in the first half, Kelsey and D-Rob combined for five drops, and it did not matter, dude. Kelsey hung dong in a way, like, he went full Gronk in this game.
Invite Kitchen onto this.
No, we're not inviting him on. I can't deal. Mahomes, there is definitely a little bit of an element of Bill Simmons would be like, we spent all season, we coordinated Lamar Jackson, and Mahomes is here saying, what about me? I'm ready to defend my crown. I'm still the best quarterback, Sal. That would be the Bill Simmons angle on this is that Mahomes is mad about how much everyone fell in love with Lamar and forgot about him this year. I mean, he is the best quarterback. You would take him over any other player in the NFL. Lamar's pretty correct. Close though.
Yeah, he had a couple weeks this season where he wasn't healthy, but other than that, I mean, he's.
Yeah, if you're drafting a quarterback, it's still Mahomes. I meant to
cover this when we talked about Baltimore, though. Actually, this is more of a take for Sammy because he understands it's more of an art. Nate's not going to be on board with this, but there definitely is an element to the Ravens having zero adversity all season long and them never having to had to prepare for a situation where they're down two touchdowns in a like a huge tense spot like that. Like, and it, like, you saw it after, so after the first interception, Lamar and Marquise Brown are on the sideline, like, laughing and stuff. But then when it, like, when they were down 21-6 and Lamar fumbled it, it was a much different scene on the sideline.
Ain't nobody laughing. I mean, that's the thing about, you know, Baltimore has been a bully all season. I mean, they've really bullied teams. And when a bully is put in a situation where they're the one on the defensive, a lot of times they don't know how to respond. And really, I think that was the difference between Baltimore and Kansas City. Kansas City has been in those situations before, and they responded in a way that Baltimore didn't.
I mean, they almost came back and beat the Patriots last year, being down, 14-0 at half, I think it was?
Yeah, in New England, right? Mm-hmm. That game was in New England. And, I mean, frankly, they easily could have won that game. But – you know, you can say, oh, it's a mental thing, you know, bully or whatever. You can also just say that's the way they're built, is like Mahomes can sit back there and pick you apart, whereas Lamar is not going to do that if you force him to do it. And I think that was the big difference, is Kansas City has so many freaking weapons. I mean, Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill really didn't do anything in this game. Sammy Watkins had a couple catches, but he was not like this.
Sammy had one really good catch. I felt very proud of him on the one good catch. I thought like that was probably a cool moment for him. And I mean, you guys can go.
Probably a cool moment.
It was a cool moment for him to marginally get involved in this 51 points.
I mean, did you guys see the Sammy Watkins trick play? Like, it literally, to God, it's like when you're playing sports with your little brother and you try and like diagram up a like. Like, you try and do something to get him involved in the game and include him in it because he's so bad. Like, that was the Watkins trick play. And then he still messed it up. He had Damian wide open and wouldn't pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, I'm actually tilted because I had some over on Damian props, too, on his receiving props.
I bet the over on all of Damian's props. And the like only reason he didn't get there was just because they scored too fast on so many of their possessions.
Well, and he had six targets. I mean, he had a couple opportunities. There was another one by the goal line that he didn't get. But I had Damian over 25.5 receiving yards, and he didn't quite get there. But I also had him plus 325 to catch a touchdown, and that one came through. So that was nice.
You know who I bet Blake Bell 100-1 to score the first touchdown, and then
you didn't.
I did 100%. No way. He didn't score. I did. I bet Blake Bell props all the time, though. Oh, I think like $10.
See, that's fun because I just found out who Blake Bell was yesterday. So
Blake Bell went to high school 30 minutes from where I grew up, and then was a like we're the same age, and he was the quarterback at the University of Oklahoma for a season as well. So he's just one of those random guys that I love.
Blake Bell better than Mark Andrews.
I mean, I played Blake Bell at like 15% in the two game slate, and that was why my teams were so good, was that I got what, 8-9 DraftKings points for the dead men.
Yeah, 9.5.
Yeah.
Blake Bell, trash touchdowns. So does Kansas City win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay, so you think
49ers, I think, are good, but I still think
it's the same problem the Titans will have. It's just that if they get down 14 points to Kansas City, what do you want them to do?
Yeah. I don't know. I think Mahomes is going to crush.
I could see Jimmy G throwing these ducks on like the big
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, I just like you could just see him throw one of those wobbly like just wobbly and horrible like towards Debo and Tyron like whatever his name is. I'm not trying to say his last name on this podcast. The honey badger goes up to go like I, you can definitely see just a big old, like a big butt whooping coming in.
Dude,
that
what game. That catch that Kendrick Bourne had, that ball was like spinning sideways.
it was one of the worst passes I've ever seen.
Like he threw it like a frisbee. It was crazy. Oh, Jimmy, yeah.
Jimmy's got to get it together. I mean, he's got to be one of the guys who's running the most hot of any quarterback in the world in terms of like what you would expect watching his passes coming out of his hand versus what the results end up being.
I mean, that offensive system is really good. Like Shanahan is
Shanahan's really sharp. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's got one of the best yards after catch receivers in Kittle of the last like 3 years.
And Debo
is a beast.
Getting Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, like, yeah, he's been fucking great. So,
and they, no one can stop undrafted free agent track star Raheem Mostert, 758 career rushing yards in college. I wonder if Mostert has more than that this season.
Probably not.
He did 772.
Oh, snap. Another L for me. Just another L.
I mean, another. I mean, here's the thing. At least none of us were embarrassing enough to go on Twitter and say that running backs matter after the Derrick Henry game.
I mean, I tried to stay off of Twitter, but I had to turn on David Kitchen notifications. Like, this has really been just a really special time. And Kitchen, if you're listening, I'm so happy for you, man. Like, this is incredible.
It is cool because obviously the Titans will never be good again. So I'm sure that these 2 weeks are like literally probably the only happy memory. Like, when have the Titans ever been good before?
I mean, Music City Miracle. They had that one moment. They came within 1 yard of the Rams.
Yeah,
in that one Super Bowl,
2001 or whatever.
So I was literally nine.
Yeah, I was. I mean, so I was definitely pouring one out for Cardi this weekend. That was a tough scene,
dude. Cardi knows what he's doing. Himself, yeah. Yeah, he can. He's a grown. He's a grown.
He does
man.
Those takes to stir up like just interactions, and it works.
I can't believe like obviously he should never delete the Derrick Henry one. I can't believe he deleted the Padres guy, whatever that guy's name is.
Fernando Tatis or
no, whoever Cardi was.
Wasn't
oh yeah.
It was,
it really doesn't matter. I don't care. But I just like that stuff is actually so good for building social media following that I can't believe that he deleted it. Tough scene.
You think Derek's just like galaxy braining it, and he's like, dude, I'm gonna get my interactions up. And
no, but people who are smart will see that and be like, oh, actually, despite the results being bad, Cardi's math was right.
That is correct. Yeah, that's exactly what we thought. Like, everything that he said in his thread was factually true. And then when Derrick Henry goes off, I mean, the squids just come out of the woodwork to dunk.
Dude, the squids were going off in my mentions. But I just wrote into it. I was like, the jump pass was so cool. Like, what do you, am I going to be the mayor of like hating fun and be like, oh, that jump pass was actually bad because like, no, like it was that was cool, dude.
I mean, that jump pass was art.
Yeah. And we did get some very great evidence that running backs do matter in the Seattle Green Bay game when Marshawn Lynch like single-handedly lost that game for his team.
Marshawn Lynch did not. Pete Carroll did.
Brian Schottenheimer and Pete Carroll and John Schneider, I believe, is the Seattle GM's name. So like that collective decision to bring Marshawn Lynch in, knowing what they would do with him if he was on the team, was one of the most minus EV decisions made by a team this year.
There was only a couple runs that with Marshawn that it was just the way that Carroll calls with Russ that it doesn't matter who the running back is. I don't know. I just think like we were talking about how great Jimmy's cards have been that he's been dealt. How like it's the worst for Russ. If Russ was like,
oh yeah, he runs so bad
as a third, like what would Russ be? Russ's career is just going to be a question of like, what ifs, what if he wasn't like,
Yeah, what if they actually let him throw the ball all the time? And what if in the one time they did run it?
What if the second half offense was the first half offense? What if they made the whole offense out of the second half?
Right.
What if you just started the game and you told Pete Carroll, you're down 16. You're down 16. The scoreboard is a lie. You're down 16.
Just put him in a deprivation tank or put him in a VR simulation and make him see the scoreboard. I mean, if they had just won that Super Bowl against New England, you know, and actually run the ball to Lynch then and not try to make up for it the rest of his life by running the ball to Lynch.
It is every Lynch play call, every running play call, it's PTSD. It is 100%.
Bigly.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll. And you can never get it back.
Yeah. It's just like that game caused him to lose his fastball. Really?
Yeah.
So did you guys watch this whole game? I actually kind of stopped watching it a little bit.
I put on season two of You and was following it on my phone. Dude, I was.
You saw DC standing for it, and you're like, dude, I gotta watch this show.
I watched the first season. It's really good. It's really good. Highly recommended. Penn Badgley, he's an amazing actor, but. I was emotionally spent after that Houston Kansas City game. I'm sitting there in my living room, got my Mahomes jersey on. I'm hanging with my dogs. They're down 21-0. The dogs are looking at me like, dude, what is wrong with you? And then like they start scoring all these points, and I'm like jumping around, freaking out. I mean, we've watched football together before. You know that it's like a full body experience for me, and I'm just like in my living room alone doing that, like just freaking out. And I needed to take a break. Like, that game was too much for me.
I have watched football with you. It is an experience.
Like, I get so into it. Like, I really commit. So, especially after the Baltimore on Saturday night, followed up by the emotional roller coaster of Kansas City, Houston, like, I didn't turn it on until the fourth quarter when I realized that Seattle plus 4.5 was live.
It was not a good game.
Well, my bet lost because Seattle couldn't get the 2-point conversion. I was texting to one of my other buddies though that Seattle is actually one of the few teams dumb enough down by 5 to actually kick the field goal to so like when you bet on a Pete Carroll team, you know that he'll take the field goal in that spot and try and get the onside kick instead of go the other way around, which is actually a great thing about betting on the Seahawks.
This is actually a very sharp take. I like this. It was crazy to see. I mean, Aaron Rodgers just like sucks so bad, and he basically had two really good passes. He had the first touchdown to Adams, and then that last third down conversion to Adams.
That was if I may get my hand in the dirt again, though. I mean, what is that defensive play call? You're going Devontae Adams in the slot, no safety help. That's your play call on third down. That's how you want to go out on your season?
That's how they went out. I mean, they got murked.
Like, I know to call, like, too high safety on third downs in Madden. Like,
yeah.
This is elementary.
That's what's going to happen. You play a safety over the top, and then Aaron Rodgers pats the ball and throws it out of bounds, and you get the ball back.
Dude. I really wish that they would have lost just so that I could have like gifted him throwing the ball away on 2nd and 10. what we gotta look at, I'm gonna look up this right now. Do we think that Aaron Rodgers, so after Devontae Adams, who do we think was second on the Packers in targets, throwing the ball away or any other player? Like, do we think he has more throwaways? Because
Graham had a Graham probably.
Yeah, Graham so, had 4 targets.
No, I meant for the season. For the whole regular the season.
Devontae Adams, the sideline, Alan Lazard.
So Devontae Adams, 127 targets, Aaron Jones, 68 targets. Do we think that anyone else, do we think that he threw the ball away more than 68 times?
Yeah, I'm gonna go the sideline number 3 in targets.
All right, I'm gonna go look this up right now.
Sure. There's no way he's throwing it away. I mean, in 17 or in 16.
Nate, don't ruin this.
Nate, last year he threw it away. The reason why, he threw it away a lot last year. I believe it was 85 times.
The sideline definitely had more targets than Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Like,
dude, come on. That's just disrespectful.
So much money on that.
All right.
But, yeah. Does Aaron Rodgers just throw for 250 and two touchdowns every game now?
Every game, yeah.
That's all he does. I mean, it's pretty wild.
How do I find throwaways on PFF?
I have no idea.
This tweet is going to be so funny when I get it off, but I got to find throwaways.
Well, it's really making for a great podcast. I'll tell you that. Yeah.
This has already gone an hour, and now we're just sitting here waiting for Davis to find a stat that I don't even know who tracks that. Like, it's not a – you have to kind of scrape the data for that.
Tough scenes. Aaron Rodgers, 39 throwaways. Not as many, though. As one Mr. Tom Brady, who led the NFL in throwaways.
Really?
That's not
surprising. That is not surprising at all to me that Tom Brady would lead in throwaways.
Oh. Maybe he was so inaccurate this year that they thought a lot of them were throaways.
So I have...
Like, he was not on the same page with, like, N'Keal Harry so many times they thought it was a...
It was a throwaway. Yeah. I actually have a question for you guys. Who do we think is in the Super Bowl next year? I actually think that this offseason is pretty much the most interesting one we are going to have had in the NFL, like, as long as I've been following it, because we have a bunch of quarterbacks who are 35 or older, 40 or older. Like, we have guys who are retiring. We have a quarterback who's going to go number one overall, and then we have a couple other quarterbacks who could go in the first round, Tua and Herbert. I actually think there is an outside chance that Jalen Hurts goes in the first round. That could end up we say that, like, oh, these quarterbacks will never go in the first round. But if he has a good Senior Bowl and, like, two teams decide they like how he throws better than everyone else.
Bro, there's always going to be at least three scrub quarterbacks that go in the first round. Like, right. That's always how it happens. So Dallas is going to the Super Bowl next year.
Oh, don't say that to
Dallas
me.
Dallas is going to the Super Bowl.
They're the best roster in the NFC. I think that's true. Assuming they re-sign Byron Jones, Amari Cooper, and they give Dak his money, I don't know who has a better roster than them.
Yeah, they're super good. They should have been good this year.
Nate, they literally led the NFL in yards per play. The viewers can't see this, but Nate gave Sammy and I a look like we're crazy. But, like, they literally led the NFL in yards per play while having a head coach who is dumber than the average person with a dog avatar on Twitter.
No, they just make bad decisions. They sign Zeke to... No, they're built around the running game. It's
But Mike McCarthy in Green Bay was one of the most pass-heavy coaches on first down. He started going for it on fourth down.
I'll say this,
way before other teams did.
Stuff is true. Maybe I see it, but if Mike McCarthy goes back to what he did in Green Bay and didn't learn from it, no.
When he was a Super Bowl champion, Nate. Dude, you can, like, do you see how poisonous fandom is? Like, I'm sitting here being like, dude, Mike McCarthy, he knows what's up. Like, fandom is literally, fandom is the stupidest thing that exists. Like, I from, like, a week, I've went from being like, I don't know about McCarthy, man, this seems sketchy, to being like, they're going to win the Super Bowl next year.
McCarthy's been in the lab, bro. He's been in the lab.
It's got to be
Baltimore.
See, I think Kansas City is better because of what we've been talking about, which is just when they get down 14-0, Kansas City can get it level in a second, and it's just a little bit harder for Baltimore.
Well, I don't know. I just believe in Baltimore's, like, play call. I believe so much in their system and everything else, and just the way they played football was so optimal that I think if they make offseason moves just to continue in that progression – they're just going to be better.
I can't believe they lost
to the Titans.
Yeah. NFC, I have no idea. And I don't, like, honestly, the draft doesn't make a difference. I mean, there's never been a rookie QB to be, I mean, it doesn't matter in playoffs. And
Ben won a Super Bowl.
I think he went 15-1 his first year and then won his Super Bowl his second year, Nate.
No.
I don't know if you know that.
No.
You don't know that this is true?
Yeah,
dude. Even I know this is true, and this literally happened when I was, like, in middle school.
Yeah, that happened.
Really?
Yeah, he went 15-1. Yeah,
he's tilting, dude. He's tilting.
Why did I think that no QB?
Now, I mean, I think it is true that Ben is the only rookie quarterback to start a Super Bowl, right?
No, he didn't go as a rookie.
It wasn't as a rookie. No QB has ever made it as a rookie to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Sounds like someone who's not this really sounds like someone who's not been grinding Joe Burrow tape.
No QB has ever made it to the Super Bowl as a rookie. Not won it, never even made it.
Pretty sure Jimmy Garoppolo did.
You were trying to convince me that Roethlisberger.
Oh, Jimmy G, dude, get roasted, Nate.
Jimmy G is a 2-time Super Bowl champion. I don't know if you know that.
Almost three. He's going to be 3 times.
Yeah, he's going to be a 3-time champion.
That's how. Like, that's got to be how this season ends, with a team that no one thinks is good winning it in like a really ugly, gross game.
I mean, but people think San Francisco is good, and they're right. San Francisco is really good.
What year was Dak's rookie year? Because that was the year that everybody thought Dak was going to break that curse and be like
2017. No, 2016.
Yeah. Well, whatever year that was, I remember all the talk being Dak's going to be the first rookie QB.
Yeah, 2016.
That was all the talk that year, I felt like.
Well, I mean, you know who they lost to in the playoffs that year.
Green Bay?
Freaking Packers, dude.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy.
That's probably why Jerry hired him, honestly. Like, honest to God. That's
what Rodgers said. Didn't you hear what Rodgers said when he heard McCarthy got hired? He's like, Jerry seems to remember that I've never lost in Dallas. I'm glad for Mike.
Oh, I literally hope Aaron Rodgers, like, I wish nothing but bad things for that guy.
He literally referenced the time that they beat him in Dallas and like took credit for McCarthy getting hired.
Dude, I hate that guy so much.
He's the worst. I don't know how you could be a fan of Rodgers. Like, he's the worst.
I mean, I know how you could be a fan of Rodgers. If you're a Green Bay fan, that guy has been like the light in the way for you for 15 years. Like, he just has. And he's always found a way to make the shortcomings someone else's fault. The defense wasn't good enough. McCarthy wasn't good enough. Like, so, like, yada, yada.
My family is a bunch of a-holes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he's always found a way to blame it on someone else.
So here's the worst thing is my wife loves Aaron Rodgers because she saw one of those shows where he was at the draft and nobody took him and he's, you know, looking all sad and this and that. She started feeling sorry for him and then he turned awesome. So she loves him and I don't have the heart to tell her that like he's a giant squid. And I don't know how to reconcile this if they make the Super Bowl.
The only player that my girlfriend likes at all is Mahomes. She's sharp, dude. The only one she likes is Mahomes because she thinks he tries really hard. Because like every time they show him on the TV, he's like Mahomes is. I love him, but he is always being a tryhard. Like I think that if you are not like a real football guy, he might be kind of hard to be around. Because I think he really is just like a big sports nerd. Like that's like his like real life personality.
I don't know. I just love his voice.
Yeah.
I like hearing him talk every time. He sounds like a frog. He sounds like a frog going through puberty, and it's just amazing.
People say that we sound alike, but I do not hear it. I think that like people who say that we look alike in the face are kind of right, but I don't think I sound like him. I don't think my voice is that froggy.
people who compare me to Patrick Mahomes, you know, I get it, but you know,
also, they're not saying I'm athletic or good.
Athletically, I would say they're right, but I don't know if my voice is.
Well, it's not really a compliment to compare yourself to Mahomes outside of sports because he is like he just is kind of a weird looking dude.
Yeah, if it wasn't for football, Mahomes would be a weirdo. Like you'd look at him in the street and be like,
you'd look at his hair and his voice and you'd be like, dude, why are you like, are you the shopping cart attendant at a grocery store?
He sits next to you on the subway and you like switch seats. I'm good, bro. Hey, by the way, can I just talk about how I was allowed to bet real American dollars on the under on Carlos Hyde rushing yards, 61.5, and the under on Travis Homer rushing yards. What?
They paid out?
Yeah, they're paying out. Yeah. This is great. And then I got the under at Travis Homer rushing yards, too, 38.5. Like, I pounded that.
Yeah. That was – if we want to bring this back to daily fantasy a little bit, which I don't think we haven't discussed in an hour, I think that there is certainly something to be said about altering the projections that you know everyone is using when you're making these slates, because other than Sammy, everyone else left playing DFS does not use game logs. They are pretty much strictly using projections.
How dare you?
So Sammy is the one guy left, like, going in the DraftKings app, like, clicking on the player news tab and being like, I wonder what's going on with Travis Homer. Like, everyone else is using projections. So a couple of the things I did this weekend
This is the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
But it's... Sammy can't defend himself. Look, dude, you know it's true. So a couple of the things I did was I switched around DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman's market shares. So I made Mecole Hardman a bigger part of the Chiefs offense. That did not end up paying off. But one of the things that did was boosting Tyler Lockett, giving him more fantasy points than Tyreek Hill. That was one of the things that ended up working out. But I even, like, you can say either or it worked or it didn't, but I do think there is a big value in altering some of those projections so that your lineups that the optimizer is giving you are inherently going to be different than the stuff being given to everyone else.
So how is that different than it being an art? You're like, oh, I use projections, but I just make up my own projections.
Well, no, you could say, so those are median projections, but you could just like, so at DR, we actually had Metcalf for a greater target share than Lockett for this last week based on like the last 4 weeks' trends. But yeah, I think pretty reasonably you could say, okay, well, Lockett's been banged up. He had the flu, tough matchup against the Eagles, whatever. You're like, it's not a tough matchup against the Eagles, but there are reasons where you could say, I actually think that this is wrong based on data-based reasons, not just on like, well, I'm just going to do it. And that would give you unique lineups. Or another thing you could do is you could, a big thing that I know a lot of professional players do is think about, well, is this a 12 personnel game or an 11 personnel game for these teams based on the opposing pass rush? And we've seen teams like Green Bay be really sensitive to this. Green Bay, when they play Chicago, because they have those great edge rushers, they use 12 personnel like 80% of the time. And then against Detroit, they go 11 personnel, so you can change the market share of the third wide receivers and the tight ends based on
this. This seems like a really convoluted way of saying it's more of an art to me.
Davis, I just fell asleep. We're an hour and 16 minutes into this podcast, and you just talked for 3 whole minutes about nothing.
Yeah, but he just made his first sharp point. This is his first sharp point.
No, those are very...
Nobody's listening to this for sharp points.
Well, Nate, that's the sharpest thing said on this podcast.
Imagine listening to the show all the way up until the divisional round of the playoffs and being like, you know, I listen to the Gilcast for the sharp points.
I waited for 90 minutes into their division round playoff show. When Davis said 2 minutes of a sharp content.
They have the edge rusher, so they put in the 12 personnel. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Now I'm going to adjust my projections 4% more for the passing.
Get that number 2 tight end in there. Get Blake Bell some.
Dude, look, Blake Bell gave me my highest ROI slate of the year, buddy. We don't tarnish Blake Bell's name on this podcast.
This is amazing. I'm happy that you won on this slate.
Yeah, I am too, because it was I did not.
Another thing I want to talk about is I'm trying to take like betting on sports a little bit more seriously this year, and people have always talked about how props are soft. But like, dude, props are actually really soft. Like, if you go in every slate and you look through the props and you have some kind of projection system up, or in the case of Sammy, if you just are like a fish predisposed to running super hot, like I actually think these prop markets are beatable at like a 57-60% clip. Like, I really think the issue
projections, like,
yeah, just median projections. I mean, for basketball, you'll get stuff that's off by like. Like, the other night, there was one. It didn't even end up winning, but, like, it was, like, Gordon Hayward's rebounds plus assists plus points with Kemba Walker out 28.5, and he was projected for, like, 40 or something. Like, he was projected for, like, literally, like, a 30% difference. And the football ones won't be off by that much. Like, it'll be like, Carlos Hyde rushing yards 61. Yeah. Like, it's not an egregious mispricing, but you're clearly wanting to bet the under.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of stuff.
Do you know what Russell Wilson's yardage prop was?
It's probably 11.5.
No. Russell Wilson's yardage.
Passing yardage or rushing yardage?
Passing.
Oh, 255?
Yeah. 253.5.
So they place quarterbacks in buckets, and they'll do like 250, 275, 299.5, and Russ gets put in the wrong bucket.
Right. And it's just like, okay, if you think that Green Bay is going to be ahead in this game, you just can't bet. You have to bet the over on this. And I did. And it was just like really easy.
Yeah. And sports betting, as DraftKings and FanDuel put more and more money into their sportsbook stuff, and as they put less and less money in the DFS stuff, I think finding other ways to profit on sports prognostication is like more important. And also betting on props is a lot more, like, it's very fun. Like it's pretty fun to bet on props.
Yeah, I mean, this is my favorite time of year because people are mashing showdown slates and this and that, but it's just like, dude, this is prop time. This is prop time of the season. This is what's up. This is great.
Are we going to do a Super Bowl Gilcast preview on the TakeCast feed?
Yeah, absolutely.
We got to do like 2 hours on that one.
Let's go, Nate.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dude, run your algorithm. I'll study up some game logs, and we'll just like mash this thing for 2 hours.
We gotta watch the film.
Yep. Yeah.
Sammy, I demand you have at least one defensive player prop for the Super Bowl.
At least one, bro.
That's gonna be 10 of Sammy's.
Yeah, that's gonna be my whole portfolio. It's gonna be lit.
So yeah, that's gonna happen. That's gonna be fun.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm in.
This is a long podcast.
This was.
We've actually talked about nothing. How is this possible?
I mean, all three of us haven't been on a show to talk together for like 2 weeks, though. So there was a lot. We all had to like throw some jabs at each other that have not gotten out.
That's right. We missed you, Nate. We missed you a lot.
Yeah, I was not. I was sick as junk last week. So you guys would not have enjoyed having me on.
Dude, if I would have lost money in DFS and Kansas City and Baltimore would have lost, this would have been like a week 7 Gilcast where I just like came on and was like swearing and like telling Mark Andrews that he owed me money.
That would have been better for the listeners.
Mark Andrews, by the way, he had like four drops in that game. He was so bad. Yeah, also, the broadcast called Hayden Hurst Speedy.
Hayden Hurst. I did notice that.
I looked up and I was just like, that's not real.
No, it's like, it was last night. Talking about Rodgers nonstop. Yeah, I heard that. It was hilarious.
Some of the commentators are so bad. It's like, it's unbelievable. But I think I'm always alone and like I don't actually mind Aikman and Buck. I think they're fine.
I don't mind Aikman, but it's just like his Rodgers love that drives me nuts. He's a Rodgers stan, and I don't know, that drives me nuts.
Romo
is the best by far.
Yeah, Romo is the best.
I mean, if Aikman telling you how smart Rodgers is for throwing the ball away gets your jollies off, good for you. Yeah, that's just so sharp. I mean, you know, he doesn't force it in a coverage here. He just throws it away. You live to play.
I think I just like knowing that it's Troy Aikman talking to me. Like, I think but I just like Troy
everything
Aikman.
Everything about the NFL is just, it like praises conservatism of just like not losing. And it's, I hate analysis that is talked about that way. Like, so most analysis, I'd rather listen to the game on mute.
Well, Damian Williams matters. We'll leave you with that. Everyone, we will, we'll be back next Monday, hopefully, to talk about a Kansas City victory. And maybe if we're really lucky and the Titans lose, I will try and get Soccer Dave on this show. And that's a half promise because I can't promise anything.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.